This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I think Sam Levitt might actually still be talking right now. Paulie, can we just pull him back up and he can
so
continue?
He's like, and then, you know, he's got to be better.
He says in his chat, they played me off the stage, rightfully so.
It wasn't us.
Unfortunately, we ran out of time, and Sammy, I apologize, because I was going to build up and plug that you're doing the pre- and the post-game show on YouTube now. You can see the EcoWater SoCal pre-game show and the post-game show on YouTube, just like you can all of the rest of our shows on 97.3 The Fan. We've added that to the mix as well. You can catch Sammy at 5:40 today talking about the Padres and Reds matchup, and once again be live from the Western Metal Supply Company building in the loft at Petco Park today as the Padres try to turn things around with Matt Waldron on the mound against Nick Lodolo of the Cincinnati Reds. Ellie De La Cruz and company in town.
Fun player to watch, man. Such a fun player to watch. Having a really good start to his season, too. Yeah, Lodolo's looked good. He's looked good. I was looking at some numbers, guys that have faced him. Man, he's hit him pretty well. Other than that, I mean, just limited ABs. And then only one player on their team has ever faced Matt Waldron and hit a bomb off of him. So I think it was Candelario. But yeah, kind of an unknown for both teams tonight.
It almost feels like, because I look at those same matchups and player versus batter, yeah, player versus pitcher, and somehow with the Padres, it never seems to really matter.
It never really does. And listen, guys add pitches, guys subtract pitches, guys get better, they add velo, whatever, completely different.
And it's not always bad, too. Sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we haven't had any success against this guy. And then the Padres go out and put 9 up against him on a given day. And part of that is, yeah, it's baseball. And baseball's a weird sport that way. But the Padres, to me, and especially this last season plus, have been the most logic-defying baseball team that I've ever covered.
No question.
When you expect one thing, that's when the other thing happens
with the
San Diego Padres.
No question about it.
And it's hard to really get a grasp. It's hard to talk about this team on a daily basis because you say we can go through 4 hours, give all our analysis, and then it all seems pointless the next day.
Yeah, literally.
Because they'll go out and they'll look great. They'll look fantastic.
Like,
and
then
we'll be all excited.
What are you worried about?
Okay, this is the why did we care? Why did we think anyone was struggling? Because they look just fine now. And then they'll go right back into slumping and struggling. And again, partly the nature of baseball, but seems like the Padres
here
take it to the extreme. They take the ups and downs of baseball to a very high level that is very difficult sometimes as fans for us to stomach the roller coasters.
Yeah, and you think about it and you think, man, there are teams right now playing in the big leagues that are good teams, and they draw 1,700 people to their games. You know, I mean, good teams with exciting young players, and they've spent some money and they've got a fan base, but they don't show up. And then you look at Petco Park this weekend, 120,000 people deep. And what do? They drop 3 in a row. What's their record at home? Terrible. What's their record at night at home? 1-9. Terrific. Like, it just, that takes away. How many times do you hear a sports broadcaster, a morning show, sports guys say, hey, listen, you know, at least they're coming back home, home field advantage. There's no home field advantage. Clearly. None. 1-9 at night at Petco Park? Are you kidding me? So other teams come into Petco Park, the place where you're most comfortable playing, allegedly, and they're the ones that are super comfortable playing here. You can't get the ball out of this ballpark. Every other team can. Makes no sense to me. It defies logic, as you said.
Even a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr., he has one of the highest exit velocities in baseball. He's hitting the ball hard, yet His balls seem to die at the warning track, or get caught at the warning track.
It's so nuts.
They're not hit less hard than the other guys.
Yeah,
Bryson runs.
Stotts go out.
He not hit as hard as the ones that Tatis is hitting.
Stupid.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Nope.
All right, Paulie's going to get us caught up on some of the things we missed. It is time for the first edition this week of the Roundel Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report with Paul Roundel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Roundel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Want to give a special shout out to a loyal Roundel Report listener and fan, Sadie. Can't be more than 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, I think she's
met
four.
Her yesterday. Our buddy Joey's daughter walked up to the Tier 1 baseball field yesterday early, and she was there with him. And you said, Paul, you got a fan here.
Yeah, she loves the Roundel Report.
The Roundel Report.
Yeah, the Roundel Report.
If you're listening, Sadie.
She is listening.
Shout out to Sadie.
Did you guys ever go to a Sadie Hawkins dance?
No, that I was.
We had.
It was like 1950s, wasn't it?
Those were the ones where the
girls
the gal
ask.
Invites the guy.
Oh no.
Well, ask the question, Woods.
Did you?
I don't think we had any.
Okay.
There was one in college, but no one asked.
In college,
yeah, we had like a. Well, no, actually, I don't know. Sadie Hawkins. It was an SYR. Did you have those?
No, I don't know what that is.
That was where you hooked up you set up your roommate with someone to go to like the party or whatever it was.
Did you get set up?
Screw your roommate. No.
Is that what it's called?
That's what SYR is. Yeah.
Wow.
What is it?
Wow.
Screw your roommate. Are you trying to
set him up with a blind date, sort of thing?
Does that mean like you're trying to do bits and set him up with somebody not?
I think
good?
So.
Oh,
yeah.
That's mean.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, then that person that gets picked is like, oh, cool, thanks for that.
I don't know if that's fun or not.
No.
Some people had fun with it. I guess
we had in high school. We called it Tolo. I don't know why
Tolo.
Or what that stood for, but it was always like right around Christmas, so everything was already. Everybody's kind of ready for vacation, get some time off, and we had a fun dance. Like we had homecoming would be like September, October. That was pretty formal. Prom was obviously very formal. Tolo was girls ask the guys, and you wore like matching T-shirts or something like that, and it was more loose. So we had that. We didn't have a Sadie Hawkins dance.
We didn't either. Adam says they had those in high school in the 90s. They didn't where I came from. They just had regular dances. Did you go to like the school dances?
No, not really.
But you wouldn't even go?
Like by myself? No.
Or like with a group of the other, your friends or something?
No, not really.
Makes me sad.
Me too. God dang, dude.
All right.
I went to prom.
I hate when he talks about high school. It makes me. When he told
I wasn't
us,
sad, though. I wasn't like pining.
Yes, you were.
No,
I was
not at home pining, wishing I was at a dance. I don't. Didn't really love dances for
he
the most part.
You didn't go there to dance.
What did you go there to
French
do?
French Kiss.
Yeah.
At the dance?
At the dance.
I don't think so.
Try not to get caught.
All right.
I got one sports story for you guys from the weekend, and we'll have some fun after that. But Roger Goodell was doing some media during the NFL draft. On Friday, he joined Pat McAfee, and I saw a pretty good recap of what Roger Goodell said his ideal NFL schedule would look like.
47
and
games.
My God, is he he's onto something here.
52 weeks a year.
Right. Year-round NFL football. No. We're going to drop it down, and this is not happening yet, just to be clear. But this is his ideal schedule. He wants to go to 2 preseason games.
Yeah.
He wants to extend the regular season to 18 regular season games,
boy.
Which would extend the calendar by 1 week. So that would be 18 games spread out over 20 weeks. You would give every team an extra bye. Right now you have 17 games spread out over 18 weeks. This would allow for more primetime games, which of course means more money in television dollars for the league. And by extending the calendar 1 week, you know, it wasn't that long ago. The Super Bowl is like still in January. It's well into February nowadays. Super Bowl Sunday would land on a 3-day weekend, the Sunday right before President's Day, Monday.
No brainer.
not everybody, but a lot of people would then get that Monday off, something that we've been clamoring for years. Why isn't the Monday after the Super Bowl a national holiday? Well, now it would land on a holiday, and most people would have President's Day off. You could rage all day on Sunday, watch the game.
I haven't gotten drunk at a Super Bowl party in 14 years since I moved here to start doing morning radio. You can't do it and be any good at your job. So I'd be in favor of this.
I think everybody is pretty much on board with this, except for perhaps
the Players
Association. Yeah. And adding another regular season game to the schedule
is tough.
Now, losing a preseason game is the trade-off, which is like, okay, well, I mean, four was way too many. Three still feels like plenty.
One too many.
Probably could get by with two, but most of the starters don't even play in the preseason, barely anymore, like a couple of series. They would have to play in a regular season game.
Yeah.
So they're adding another entire game of wear and tear to their body. Now, they'd be appealing during the regular season. Have two full bye weeks instead of just one.
Buddy, you could also just push the entire freaking schedule back a week if you wanted to. You can do whatever you want.
I also think on September 15th instead of September 8th.
Exactly.
The extra bye week seems almost necessary now with so many now games on Thursdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and whatever, that teams that have to play or in London or in Rio de Janeiro, that you could set up more bye weeks to have more of those international games to know, hey, we get through this, we got 2 weeks off before our next
100%
game after that. And you can't do that with just one bye week, but you could do it a little more often with two bye weeks.
Yep.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
And I love the idea of having a holiday after the Super Bowl. And if you fear that you're going to be missing out on the Super Bowl coverage, you won't. You're not going to.
As someone who has worked in sports talk radio for a while, we'll talk about it on Tuesday.
That's exactly right.
We're more than happy to hold it until Tuesday.
Yep, and that way we'll even be able to be more prepared. Because I feel like I missed 25 things during the Super Bowl. I can watch the thing twice if I want to. So, do it. Book it.
Book it. I'm in. All right, that's it for the sports. We'll start, go here to music. I love a good rap beef.
Okay, there's a lot of those happening right now.
And I was privy to a new one here. Well, it's not new, but new to me. So this all sparked because not too long ago, Quavo, the rapper from the band Migos, who is no longer together after the death of Takeoff a couple of years ago, they disbanded, but Quavo still doing his thing.
Yeah.
And he had a show in Bridgeport, Connecticut recently. And there might have been 100 people in the entire crowd.
You showed me the picture. It looks generous. That 100 looks generous. It looks like a Rockies game.
It's a whole ass arena.
It's a big ass arena.
And there are about 68 to 70 people crowded around the stage right there in the pit.
I mean, we had way more people at 7 Mile Casino.
We had 10 times
a 10 a.m. baseball game. Yeah.
And I saw that there were people online saying that there might be a conspiracy theory here that so Quavo and Chris Brown, they hate each other. And they have hated each other for a long time. Chris Brown had a new song with a diss line in there saying something about the wrong member of Migos was taken. And
that'll get you.
Quavo clapped back. They've been going back and forth for a while. Now, there's no evidence behind this, but people and fans are convinced that in a just line out of pettiness 101, Chris Brown actually bought the majority of the tickets to Quavo's concert so that nobody could go.
Just bought them himself. Now, Quavo gets that money, but the picture that has people talking about it is mortifying. I can't imagine being in a band or an artist and walking out and there are 60 people like standing there, huge arena floor behind them. Now, if the tickets are sold out, that is like an expensive way to be petty.
Yeah, now I'm sure someone could like go back and
look
at the ticket sales. And if there were like 8,000 ticket sales and 60 people showed up, that's suspicious. You don't usually get that many no-shows for an event.
By the way, the venue probably doesn't care. They sold their
tickets. No, they got their tickets.
But they're missing out on beer and wine and everything else.
This has happened before. Somebody in the chat reminds us that 50 Cent bought out a ton of seats at a Ja Rule show so that nobody would be there. I mean, pettiness 101.
How can we do that to, like, radio competitors? I don't have that kind of money.
No, the expression is when you have that much money that you can spend things frivolously.
Yeah.
just to make a point. That's called FU money.
FU money.
This was literally...
just to make a point.
Just to make kind of a point.
That picture is staggering. And then you walk out on stage. What's up, Bridgeport? You guys ready to get after it?
Yeah, right.
Super cool.
Yeah, Adam in the chat says, I'm surprised it wasn't canceled. I will, you know, to his credit... saw some videos. He went out and performed his show as if it was sold out.
That's what you have to do. Every venue is Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Still did it for a whole 50 people or whatever.
So sad.
But I saw that and that made me laugh. Another thing that made me laugh over the weekend, Woody, you sent this over. There is a...
it's a new trend.
Yeah, this clothing
This
designer,
is real, by the way. This is not The Onion. This is a real thing.
This is very real. A clothing designer in the UK called Jordan Luca. They debuted a new pair of jeans that they're selling for $800. These are expensive, expensive jeans. And they are stained, I guess. They're like,
yeah.
Remember like the bleached jeans?
Yeah, of course.
These are pre-stained jeans, and they make it look like you have wet yourself.
Like you peed your pants.
Very much so.
$800 for jeans that are pre-stained, make it look like you went pee-pee. And here's the thing. They sold out immediately. $810. They debuted in the fall they're not, at the fashion show.
They're just pre-stained. They're not actually.
Not wet.
No. One actually.
No.
Like,
no.
They didn't
put
use
them on. And then...
they didn't use French urine all over okay. them and then bake it into the jeans. Wait till you guys see my new line of clothes coming out soon, the doo-doos. And it looks like that you crapped your pants. And it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah. Brown in the back. It's really... you're wearing a Padres game. I'm backing the brown.
So, but if you wore those around...
people will think that you peed in your pants.
Right.
The normal person that doesn't know that these are now designed.
Do you then feel like, oh, but then they'll say it, and I'll go,
no.
These are expensive Luca's. Designer jeans.
These are Woodsy's doo-doo
but
browns.
I don't think anyone's actually going to say anything. They're just going to think
that you peed your pants.
They're just going to think that you're incontinent.
They have a lighter.
They can't hold it in. They're not going to actually say anything. They're going to feel embarrassed for you. They're going to feel awkward around you, but not actually say anything to you.
They are... who's the guy in the meeting? I always want to know about the guy in the meeting that goes, I got it. All right, go ahead. One of your ideas. We take some jeans. We make it look like guys urinated all over themselves. Then we sell them at a huge, huge markup. Did you say, yeah, like I want to do, like he, like you had way too many drinks and you peed yourself. And so.
It's kind of an expanding stain on the front.
We won't
maybe
actually,
like a discount pair? No.
$800. And they have a pee stain on them.
They have the lighter wash jeans that it's not as obvious, but there's still a stain there that makes it look like you peed your pants. And those are about $600. They also sold out like in minutes when these went on sale.
How about remember when you play as a kid and you get the grass stains on your
grass
knee?
Stain.
We could sell grass stained knees with little like green spots
put those
on
our merch
knee.
Store.
It is
that is very weird.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
All right. Well, that's our Rindle Report for a Monday. When we come back, fairly big loss this weekend for the San Diego State basketball program. Lamont Butler is headed to the University of Kentucky. And for the most part, San Diego State fans, at least publicly, are handling it very maturely. But do you really feel that way? Come back and talk about that next with Ben Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, you were out, Ben, when this breaking Aztecs news happened. I had to cover it all by myself.
He did a good job.
Thank you very much.
I was I wasn't stunned, although I was a little bit surprised. I had been kind of led to believe that Lamont Butler was probably coming back for one more season. And I was excited about that because he's a fantastic defensive player and has experience, is a winner, and is the kind of player you want to have in your program.
Yep.
But when I found out where he was going, it did make some sense. I figured there's big money in it, and reportedly, what, several hundred thousand dollars offered to go to the University of Kentucky to play for their new head coach, Mark Pope, just hired as they're trying to turn around their program with some veteran players. It would be a tough offer to say no to. So in that sense, it feels like you'd be a bad fan to be mad at Lamont Butler for taking that life opportunity and going forward. Now, you could also make the argument that if you want to play for the better basketball program, the one that has fared better the last 5 years is San Diego State, not the University of Kentucky. You're actually downgrading to go to a worse basketball program for your last year. Why would anyone go to a worse basketball program?
Money.
Money.
There you go. I did. My whole take was, I know that it's got to be hard to say goodbye to a Lamont Butler over money, right? And the I did wonder, kind of, is that just something we do now? We have to say, hey, we wish you well. You know it stings. You know you're saying it basically through gritted teeth. You do wish him. You don't wish poorly on him, certainly.
Right.
But you are bummed that he's not coming back to finish a really great career, which he started at San Diego State. And certainly don't begrudge him that chance to go out and get that money. I do ask the question, though. If you had the ability at San Diego State to match what they offered him, would you have done it? Let's say it's $500K and you had $2 million to spend, which they don't. Would you have taken $500,000 and given it to Lamont Butler?
Well, you're making it sound as though it's free agency, which
kind of is.
It kind of is, but there's no salary cap either. Your budget is your budget, and you can say, well, you know, is it Brian Dutcher's fault that he's losing good players? Is it J.D. Wicker's fault? It's not really the athletic department's fault. It's anyone's fault that the Aztecs lost Lamont Butler. It's Paul Reindl's fault.
Yeah,
he's an alum.
Yep.
He's an alum of San Diego State.
That is.
The alums are the people who are supposed to be paying all this NIL money.
Makes sense. It is your
fault. The boosters and the alums.
You know how Robin Williams says it's not your fault? I'm going to grab you and say
it's actually your fault. You thought it wasn't
your fault.
It actually is your fault.
It is your fault.
Interesting.
It is your fault.
Yeah, C220 Reno says SDSU can't afford $500,000.
Yeah.
Well, why can't they? Because
Paul Reindl
is not giving all of his salary to San Diego State.
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're
a San Diego State alum and you're mad that they're losing players like Lamont Butler to Kentucky, look in the mirror. I'm not saying that that's right about college basketball, and that's how it should be. But that's the reality right now, that the schools with the boosters who are willing to write unlimited checks to their athletic departments.
You mean it's like every other thing in America? Every other thing in America is the exact same way.
Well, I would just like to go on the record that if I can change Lamont Butler's mind, if it's not officially official, I'll Venmo him $100 to come
$100,
up to San
Diego State. Yeah.
That kept Steve Sugimoto at San Diego State
yeah,
for another
season.
And now he's
a professional golfer.
Look at him.
I just don't know that $100 is going for Lamont Butler.
It's just, you know, it's tough to lose a player of his caliber, certainly. You understand 100% why he did it. You also understand probably not going to be a guy that's going to be staring down the multi-million-dollar contract from the NBA one day, right? Maybe. I mean, stranger things have happened, certainly, but
there's life-changing money.
There's other opportunities for him in other parts of the world where he can actually make some really good money. Now he has a chance to make some really good money next year playing in a program that traditionally has been a good program, right?
Like, and they haven't been great the last few years, but still, you walk into that arena, you see the banners.
Yeah, dude, it's Kentucky basketball.
The weight room, yeah. The locker room, and all of it. It's Kentucky basketball.
For me, it doesn't translate. I mean, as I look out the window here and I go, yep, not leaving here. Certainly not leaving here for Kentucky. Mornings in Kentucky with Ben and Woods. Pass.
Hey, y'all.
Hard pass. Well, good morning. No chance. But I also understand he's a young man and has a chance to get paid. Take that chance, young man. I do wonder. I just the psychology of the sports fan remains my favorite part
I
of
got
this
a ton
job.
Of friends that are listening right now that
are living.
We were talking about it over the weekend, and you know they're ride or die. They're like, all right, if he doesn't want to rep SDSU on his chest, then F him. And I'm like, man, I disagreed. I said, you know what? His legacy is cemented.
He doesn't have to buy drinks here.
No. He will be welcome back.
He does not have to buy a drink here ever.
At any point, if they bring back the team or if he's just sitting courtside in 5 years and they pan to him on the big screen, he will get an applause. That moment will live
forever.
The buzzer beater in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And you get a chance to get your money, man. Like, I think the bigger problem is that San Diego State's not able to offer anything close to that.
Paulie and Hannah is really who this falls
on. Yeah, and just in all, without joking, San Diego State can't really do much more. They've done the NIL, the Mesa Foundation. They're doing what they can.
Yeah.
Unless some surprise donor comes in with, you know, T. Boone Pickens type money and says, here's $12 million for your NIL
go get 'em.
Budget to go get whatever player you want. San Diego State's never going to be in the market for the players who want the most money. So they're going to rely on players who want to play for Brian Dutcher, who want to develop their game and are willing to do it for a little bit less.
Yep.
And they're going to require Brian Dutcher to stick around and remain the head coach at San Diego State. They've given him a contract extension and a salary increase so that he doesn't go somewhere else where he can have access to more NIL money.
And it's true. It's truly the hometown discount that sports fans in San Diego always love to talk about. It's absolutely true in this era of NIL money. If somebody comes here to play, we should celebrate them. We should appreciate them because if they're really good and if they're playing at San Diego State, chances are they probably had a chance at more somewhere else. So appreciate the guys that do want to come in and become Aztecs.
But why are they coming to San Diego State? To improve their game, to be winners so that they can what?
Go to the NBA.
And maybe make more money. And now you have that opportunity to do so before you even get to the NBA. It's going to be hard for San Diego State to keep top players around. They're going to have to continue to develop new players most years. New Jaden Ledees every single year. It's not easy. But Dutch has done a really good job so far of doing that. So
no doubt.
We'll see if he can do it again this year. And they have some transfers that will hopefully, you know, Nick Boyd, the new player from FAU, that could step right into Lamont Butler's shoes as a point guard and a winner and someone that kind of experience. So hopefully they don't miss a beat, even though they've lost some key players. All right, before we go to our timeout, we've got some San Diego Legion tickets to give away. They had actually a rough one over the weekend, but they're going to try to bounce back against Dallas, the Jackals, this Sunday at Snapdragon Stadium. You can grab some tickets for San Diego's rugby team at sdlegion.com, or you can win them a pair of tickets right now by being the third caller at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973, San Diego Legion, Dallas Jackals, Sunday at Snapdragon Stadium. We'll come back, do a little look ahead to the Padres-Reds series starting tonight at Petco Park and wrap things up, get you ready for Annie and Elston on a Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Already the final segment of Ben and Woods. Time flies when your buddy's back from Vegas. You get to all get together again. It's nice having you back, big guy.
It's good to be back. Conversely, when one of us is gone, the time moves very slowly.
It does. Thursday's show with...
must have had the longest show on Thursday ever.
It was long. I had like 15 people in here. So that was a little long, and I was talking very fast because I had to fill all these voids, you know, usually that you help fill.
But then on Friday, you had to come in after the loss to the Rockies. That had to be fairly brutal.
It's the best thing that could have happened to this show. I'll say it again. It's the best thing that could have happened to this show. If they had won that game 9-4, Paul and I would have been in here pulling our putts with nothing to do. Just not like, good win, took 3 of 4. You're done. You're done at that point. That's it. That's the whole recap of the series. Yeah, guys hit, they pitched, got out of some jams. 9-4 win for our Padres, 3 out of 4 on a nice little winning streak. The fact that they blew that game in such spectacular fashion, I don't want to see them blow a game ever again. That being said, it literally got us through 4 hours of programming. Because without it, we're dead in the water.
What were the tone of the phone calls?
You know what? We had some positive. We had some negative. We had some keep the faith. We had some, you know, let's see how they rebound. That didn't go well.
So how did they rebound?
They did not rebound well at all. And so we had some of that. We had people like to call and give their histories. Yeah, it was the Padres fans. Blah, blah, blah. It's fine. They're actually good callers. But I felt it important to open the phones and, you know, let people get it off their chest because that was a tough one to watch. I mean, it was one of those you're watching that game and you exhale when it's over and go, you said it. You were looking at you thought they had it in the bag.
Yeah. I looked at the score, 8-4, 9-4. Oh, good.
3 hours
to go.
Later.
Way to go. Way to bounce back from that tough loss in the second game of the series. Yep. We said all you know, Monday, we said, hey, they got to take 3 out of 4 in this series. And then they come back and they get that Wednesday game and I go, okay. And they're up 9-4.
Yeah.
It's just what they needed. This is just what the doctor ordered.
Well, it's like I said on the air. My job is a content aggregator. And there was plenty of content after that loss to aggregate. The Mike Schilt audio, the Mike Schilt interview that we had on Friday. You know, everything took a little bit different of a tone. But no, your mom texted me. She gets very worried when you're out of town because... Like Kyle Glazer came in and filled it. He did a great job. Got a lot of praise. The wives came in. Everybody did a great job. We had fun, whatever. And she goes, I always think that you want to replace him when he's gone because if you have a good show. And I text her. I said, you have no fear. Have no fear. We're not us when one of us isn't here. So don't worry about that. You're a star.
She doesn't text me when you're gone.
I know.
Say.
No, she knows. She knows.
Wasn't it nice to not have Woods there?
She knows what's coming, you know?
No, she's very happy with you.
She is. She loves me.
She does.
And she should.
Very much so.
Yeah.
All right, let's check traffic for a final time. Come back, look at today's game and the series matchup against the Cincinnati Reds next year on 97.3 The Fan. By the time we take the airwaves on Thursday morning this week, everything could be absolutely fine for your San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
Or things could be really bleak by that point as well. You're taking on a Cincinnati Reds team that's currently 15-13. Padres are 14-17. If you win the series, or even if you swept the series, you get back to 500, you pass the Reds, you're all of a sudden, the Philadelphia sweep is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's a
blip in a long season. It's a quickly fading memory of something that happens to every team. If you lose this series, or get swept, you could be 4 or even 6 games under 500.
Time to blow it up.
All of a sudden, you're looking at a big mountain to climb. You're going to have to, we got to play a good 2 or 3 weeks to get back into, you know, positive territory and above 500. So, yes, you're going on the road after this to face the Arizona Diamondbacks, divisional opponent. And while you have not played well at home, don't be counting on going on the road
and dominating
and everything being fine as soon as you leave Petco Park. That's a poor way to strategize your baseball season.
Bro,
so
we've got MLB Network on in the studio, and just in their last segment, they were talking about should these teams be rebuilding, and it was the Padres, the Mets, the Red Sox, and maybe the Cardinals, and just the fact that we're lumped into that conversation already, I'm like, oh, God.
But what that conversation does not address is the fact that The Padres can't rebuild. There's really no path to rebuild for the San Diego Padres.
There is a path, but it's not a good one.
I don't know. What would be the path?
Well, I mean, to rebuild, like if they lost 15 games in a row, and you're like, all right, this is who we are.
Let's just go to the end of the season. Let's go to the end of this year.
Well, Padres, you got to go to the trade deadline. That's where you need
trade
to
deadline.
Go.
Fine, trade
and
deadline,
and you're out of it. Yeah, there's a path to a rebuild. Sure, it's trading Ha-Sung Kim. It's trading Dylan Cease. It's trading.
But why would you let if you really need to rebuild? Do you let AJ Preller be the one who does
I mean, that's the other thing. Who knows? Who knows? That's I'm just talking about the path to the rebuild actually being there. There is one. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look pretty.
If the path to the rebuild includes a new front office, new general manager, what does the new general manager get to come in and do?
I have no idea. Like, literally,
trade Fernando Tatis Jr. I really find it hard to believe that the Padres' best path could be trading a guy who you feel pretty good about his long-term contract, his status of being a perennial all-star type player, a platinum gold glove winner, a guy who is scorching the ball off the bat.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
We're kind of cemented into the inability to do a full teardown, fire sale, rebuild. That can't happen.
Your other players who aren't performing as well right now, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Xander Bogaerts, and even Manny Machado coming off an injury. You're not getting anything for them at the moment. Their contracts are probably prohibitive for other teams to want to offer big-time prospects. I mean, even if you ate a lot of money, I don't know that you can even do that. So I don't think there is much of a path to a rebuild. You're trying to win with these guys for the next few years. Whether you do or not, I've got no idea.
The reboot, the reshuffling.
Well, you're always kind of doing that in baseball.
True. Yeah, I don't know that
looking for the right combination, looking for better players, looking to retool. But in terms of the core, you've got it.
You've got it.
I don't think it's changing much for the next 3 to 4 years, at least.
They all have no trades, by the way. So, if they wanted to go, they could waive it, right? But, I mean, you're talking about, you'd probably have to attach prospects to Xander Bogaerts and a buttload of money and everything else just to be rid of a contract. I don't think they should do that.
That's not a rebuild.
No, that's not a rebuild.
That's a disaster.
That's a fire sale disaster.
And that's not going to happen. Yeah. I feel confident in saying that they're not going to do something that hurts their product now and in the future just to save $20 million. They're not going to go down that path.
Yeah.
They want to continue to fill up Petco Park. That's their business model is, full ballparks, exciting products, and hopefully winning baseball on the
field. Yeah.
They have failed on the last front for the most part. They're looking for that answer, but they're going to continue to look for that answer. The question is whether they can find it. As for this series against the Cincinnati Reds, in that sense, this is an important early season series for the Padres. It's a team that's right around your level, that thinks they're a playoff contender, that's hovering around .500, that is looking to make a statement early in the season on the road against a team that is struggling right now. And you've got to go in this first game against a left-hander, a guy that... Yeah, you fare well against left-handers in the past, for the most part. You want to try to get this first game. You got a familiar face in the next game. Nick Martinez is scheduled to start game 2. We'll find out if Yu Darvish is ready to come off the injured list and could return to the Padres starting rotation as part of this series going forward. And after that, you're going to count on some bounce-back performances from guys like Joe Musgrove, who's scheduled to go in game 3 on Wednesday. And if he can figure out something between starts, that would be very helpful for your San Diego Padres to get a Musgrove-like performance out of Musgrove, a Darvish-like performance out of Darvish if he comes back.
If he does, in fact, come back. If he does not, who do you throw tomorrow? You've sent
Johnny Brito.
Brito?
Let's see Brito. Give him a chance.
Brito-Morejon combo?
Yeah, I don't know if Morejon, they used him too much over the weekend. He probably could be good for a couple of innings by tomorrow. Or Brito, then Vasquez. You can go the other way if you wanted to go that direction. But I think
Vasquez is down, didn't he? Did they bring him back up?
They could bring him back. They haven't brought him back up yet. But Brito, for me, has thrown well enough. And the talk was he was fighting for a spot in the starting rotation during spring training. Maybe it's time for him to get an opportunity. Love to see Yu Darvish be back, though, and pitch like Yu Darvish can as well.
Well, you know, you got your big guns tonight that are fairly fresh, Ben. And Yuki Matsui has not thrown in a couple days. Robert Suarez has not thrown in a couple days. If you're up tonight and you need to get this win and you need four, five outs from Robert Suarez, I'm doing it.
And then again, I'd say Aniel De Los Santos is one of the big guns now.
He's a big gun, too.
Really well. He did pitch yesterday.
He threw yesterday. So guys that did not throw yesterday, Morihon threw Saturday. Yeah, threw 47 pitches on Saturday. Morihon did not throw yesterday. Estrada did not throw yesterday or Saturday. So yeah, you've got some fresh arms down there. Bobby Fastballs hasn't thrown since Wednesday, so he is really, really fresh. But you also got to remember, if you keep these games close, you're going to need him potentially for all three in the ninth inning. That would be the dream. I'd love to see Robert Suarez three straight days in the next 3 days. It means we've got a lead. So that's what you need. The offense got to come out, take it to this kid early, get in their bullpen, and go from there. We say that every freaking day, though.
Yeah, I think I'm most curious about what the lineup is going to look like tonight. Mike Schilt has hinted that he needs to get some guys off their feet, whether it's Ha-Sun Kim, who has played more innings than anyone in baseball. Tatis has played top five innings. Bogarts has played top five innings.
This is the problem that Bob Melvin ran into last year. You started playing so poorly. You can't sit those guys because you've got a fairly weak bench. But, you know, this is exactly what happened
to
Bob.
You wanted to get Tati off his feet, but then you feel like you can't because we need to win this game.
Yeah.
How could the possibly best strategy be to take Fernando Tatis out of the lineup when you need to win a game?
Rest assured, if we had won that game yesterday, one of those three guys is off their feet today.
I wonder what it'll look like tonight, though. Especially against the left-hander. Well, we'll find out later today, and we will talk about it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. That is it for us. Annie and Elston are up next. For executive producer and imaging director Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Hope we got your week off to a good start. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Already the final segment of Ben and Woods. Time flies when your buddy's back from Vegas. You get to all get together again. It's nice having you back, big guy.
It's good to be back. Conversely, when one of us is gone, the time moves very slowly.
It does. Thursday's show with...
You must have had the longest show on Thursday ever.
It was long. I had like 15 people in here. So that was a little long, and I was talking very fast because I had to fill all these voids, you know, usually that you help fill.
But then on Friday, you had to come in after the loss to the Rockies. That had to be fairly brutal.
It's the best thing that could have happened to this show. I'll say it again. It's the best thing that could have happened to this show. If they had won that game 9-4, Paul and I would have been in here pulling our putts with nothing to do. Just not like, good win, took 3-4. You're done. You're done at that point. That's it. That's the whole recap of the series. Yeah, guys hit. They pitched. Got out of some jams. 9-4 win for our Padres. 3 out of 4 on a nice little winning streak. The fact that they blew that game in such spectacular fashion, I don't want to see them blow a game ever again. That being said, it literally got us through 4 hours of programming. Because without it, we're dead in the water.
What were the tone of the phone calls?
You know what? We had some positive. We had some negative. We had some keep the faith. We had some, you know, let's see how they rebound. That didn't go well.
So how did they rebound?
They did not rebound well at all. And so we had some of that. We had people like to call and give their histories. Yeah, it was the Padres fans. Blah, blah, blah. It's fine. They're actually good callers. But I felt it important to open the phones and, you know, let people get it off their chest because that was a tough one to watch. I mean, it was one of those you're watching that game and you exhale when it's over and go, you said it. You were looking at you. You thought they had it in the bag.
Yeah. I looked at the score, 8-4, 9-4. Oh, good.
3 hours later.
Way to go. Way to bounce back from that tough loss in the second game of the series.
Yep.
We said all you know, Monday, we said, hey, they got to take 3 out of 4 in this series. And then they come back and they get that Wednesday game. And I go, okay. And they're up 9-4.
Yeah.
It's just what they needed. This is just what the doctor ordered.
Well, it's like I said on the air. My job is a content aggregator. And there was plenty of content after that loss to aggregate. The Mike Schilt audio, the Mike Schilt interview that we had on Friday. You know, everything took a little bit different of a tone. But no, your mom texted me. She gets very worried when you're out of town because Like Kyle Glazer came in and filled it. He did a great job. Got a lot of praise. The wives came in. Everybody did a great job. We had fun, whatever. And she goes, I always think that you want to replace him when he's gone because if you have a good show. And I text her. I said, you have no fear. Have no fear. We're not us when one of us isn't here. So don't worry about that. You're a star.
She doesn't text me when you're gone.
I know.
Say.
No, she knows. She knows.
Wasn't it nice to not have Woods there?
She knows what's coming, you know?
No, she's very happy with you.
She is. She loves me.
She does.
And she should.
Very much so.
Yeah.
All right, let's check traffic for a final time. Come back, look at today's game and the series matchup against the Cincinnati Reds next year on 97.3 The Fan. By the time we take the airwaves on Thursday morning this week, everything could be absolutely fine for your San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
Or things could be really bleak by that point as well. You're taking on a Cincinnati Reds team that's currently 15-13. Padres are 14-17. If you win the series, or even if you swept the series, you get back to 500, you pass the Reds, you're all of a sudden, the Philadelphia sweep is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's a memory.
A blip in a long season. It's a quickly fading memory of something that happens to every team. If you lose this series or get swept, you could be 4 or even 6 games under 500.
Time to blow it up.
All of a sudden, you're looking at a big mountain to climb. We got to play a good 2 or 3 weeks to get back into, you know, positive territory and above 500. So, yes, you're going on the road after this to face the Arizona Diamondbacks, divisional opponent. And while you have not played well at home, don't be counting on going on the road
and dominating
and everything being fine as soon as you leave Petco Park. That's a poor way to strategize your baseball season.
Bro,
so
we've got MLB Network on in the studio, and just in their last segment, they were talking about should these teams be rebuilding, and it was the Padres, the Mets, the Red Sox, and maybe the Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
and just the fact that we're lumped into that conversation already, I'm like, oh, God.
But what that conversation does not address is the fact that the Padres can't rebuild. There's really no path to rebuild for the San Diego Padres.
There is a path, but it's not a good one.
I don't know. What would be the path?
Well, I mean, to rebuild, like if they lost 15 games in a row and you're like, all right, this is who we are.
Let's just go to the end of the season. Let's go to the end of this year.
Well,
Padres,
you got to go to the trade. You got to go to the trade deadline. That's where you need
to go. Trade deadline, fine. Trade deadline.
And you're out of it. Yeah, there's a path to a rebuild. Sure. It's trading Ha-Sung Kim. It's trading Dylan Cease. It's trading.
But why would you let, if you really need to rebuild, do you let A.J. Preller be the one who does
I mean, that's the other thing. Who knows? Who knows? I'm just talking about the path to the rebuild actually being there. There is one. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look pretty.
If the path to the rebuild includes a new front office,
right.
A new general manager, what does the new general manager get to come in and do?
I have no idea. Like, literally,
trade Fernando Tatis Jr. I really find it hard to believe that the Padres' best path,
correct,
could be trading a guy who you feel pretty good about his long-term contract, his status of being a perennial all-star type player, a platinum gold glove winner,
who is
scorching the ball off the bat.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
We're kind of cemented into the inability to do a full teardown, fire sale, rebuild. That can't happen.
Your other players who aren't performing as well right now, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Xander Bogaerts, and even Manny Machado coming off an injury, you're not getting anything for them at the moment. Their contracts are probably prohibitive for other teams to want to offer big-time prospects. I mean, even if you ate a lot of money, I don't know that you can even do that. So I don't think there is much of a path to a rebuild. You're trying to win with these guys for the next few years. Whether you do or not, I've got no idea.
The reshuffling.
Well, you're always kind of doing that in baseball.
True. Yeah, I don't know that
looking for the right combination, looking for better players, looking to retool. But in terms of the core,
you've got it.
I don't think it's changing much for the next 3 to 4 years, at least.
They all have no trades, by the way. So, if they wanted to go, they could waive it, right? But, I mean, you're talking about, you'd probably have to attach prospects to Xander Bogaerts and a buttload of money and everything else just to be rid of a contract. I don't think they should do that.
That's not a rebuild.
No, that's not a rebuild. That's like a
disaster.
That's a fire sale disaster.
And that's not going to happen. Yeah. I feel confident in saying that they're not going to do something that hurts their product now and in the future just to save $20 million. They're not going to go down that path.
Yeah.
They want to continue to fill up Petco Park. That's their business model is, you know, full ballparks, exciting products, and hopefully winning baseball
on
the
field. Yeah.
They have failed on the last front for the most part. They're looking for that answer, but they're going to continue to look for that answer. The question is whether they can find it. As for this series against the Cincinnati Reds, yeah, in that sense, this is an important early season series for the Padres. It's a team that's right around your level, that thinks they're a playoff contender, that's hovering around 500, that is looking to make a statement early in the season on the road against a team that is struggling right now. And you've got to go in this first game against a left-hander, a guy that... Yeah, you fare well against left-handers in the past, for the most part. You want to try to get this first game. You got a familiar face in the next game. Nick Martinez is scheduled to start game two. We'll find out if Yu Darvish is ready to come off the injured list and could return to the Padres' starting rotation as part of this series going forward. And after that, you're going to count on some bounce-back performances from guys like Joe Musgrove, who's scheduled to go in game three on Wednesday. And if he can figure out something between starts, that would be very helpful for your San Diego Padres to get a Musgrove-like performance out of Musgrove, a Darvish-like performance out of Darvish if he comes back.
If he does not, who do you throw tomorrow? You've sent
Johnny Brito.
Brito?
Let's see Brito. Give him a chance.
Brito-Morejon combo?
Yeah, I don't know if Morejon, they used him too much over the weekend. He probably could be good for a couple of innings by tomorrow. Yep. Or Brito, then Vasquez. You can go the other way if you wanted to go that direction. But I think
Vasquez is down, didn't he? Did they bring him back up?
They could bring him back. They haven't brought him back up yet. But Brito, for me, has thrown well enough. And he, you know, the talk was he was fighting for a spot in the starting rotation during spring training. Maybe it's time for him to get an opportunity. Love to see Yu Darvish be back, though, and pitch like Yu Darvish can as well.
Well, you know, you got your big guns tonight that are fairly fresh, Ben. And Yuki Matsui has not thrown in a couple days. Robert Suarez has not thrown in a couple days. If you're up tonight and you need to get this win and you need four or five outs from Robert Suarez, I'm doing it.
And then again, I'd say Aniel De Los Santos is one of the big guns now.
He's a big
gun,
too. He's
really well. He did pitch yesterday.
He threw yesterday. So guys that did not throw yesterday, Morejon threw Saturday. Yeah, threw 47 pitches on Saturday. Morejon did not throw yesterday. Estrada did not throw yesterday or Saturday. So yeah, you've got some fresh arms down there. Bobby Fastballs hasn't thrown since Wednesday, so he is really, really fresh. But you also got to remember, if you keep these games close, you're going to need him potentially for all three in the ninth inning. That would be the dream. I'd love to see Robert Suarez three straight days in the next 3 days. It means we've got a lead. So that's what you need. The offense got to come out, take it to this kid early, get in their bullpen, and go from there. We say that every freaking day, though.
Yeah, I think I'm most curious about what the lineup is going to look like tonight. Mike Schilt has hinted that he needs to get some guys off their feet, whether it's Ha-Sung Kim, who has played more innings than anyone in baseball. Tatis has played top five innings. Bogarts has played top five innings.
This is the problem that Bob Melvin ran into last year. You started playing so poorly, you can't sit those guys because you've got a fairly weak bench. But, you know, this is exactly what happened
it
to
is.
Bob. Wanted to
You'd
get
lose
Tati
three
off his feet.
And you want to get him off his feet, but then you feel
but
like
you can't
because we need to win this game.
Yeah.
And how could the possibly best strategy be to take Fernando Tatis out of the lineup when you need to win a game?
Rest assured, if we had won that game yesterday, one of those three guys is off their feet today.
I wonder what it'll look like tonight, though. Especially against the left-hander. Well, we'll find out later today, and we will talk about it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. That is it for us. Annie and Elston are up next for executive producer and imaging director Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Hope we got your week off to a good start. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app